Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. The ancient Chinese proverb says, "The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step." The point of this proverb is that one does not reach his goal until he takes the first step toward it. Whether one's destination is near or far, he cannot remain in his starting place and arrive at it. He must put one foot in front of the other, in the direction of his destination, in order to get there. A single step begins even the longest journey, and it is a single step that sustains that journey until it is completed. A seemingly insurmountable obstacle may be overcome, or an apparently unachievable goal realized, by just taking one more step and then one more step until the task is done. This is a motivational tool used in many areas of life to help someone who is struggling to find success. Only a step may lead one to great things and worthy goals, but only a step may also lead one to failure and disobedience as well. In each case, it is only a step, but the direction of that step greatly affects the outcome of the journey. For a few moments today, we will consider the lives of four men whose exploits are part of the biblical record. In each man's life, we will note a step that he took, which ultimately sealed his destiny. Two of these men took a good step, and we remember them and honor them for their righteous lives. Two of them took a bad step, and we remember them for their evil deeds. We're going to begin our study with the two men who took a bad step. The first of these is Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. We read of him in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 26 through 39. He was an Ephraimite who served Solomon as the head over the forced labor of the household of Joseph. The scriptures speak well of Jeroboam in the beginning. In verse 28, he is called a valiant warrior and an industrious man. And this is why he came to Solomon's attention and was appointed to a position of responsibility. In verse 31 of this chapter, a prophet named Ahijah met Jeroboam on the road as Jeroboam was leaving Jerusalem. The prophet took his own new cloak and cut it into 12 pieces. He then gave 10 pieces to Jeroboam. Ahijah explained to Jeroboam that he was to be God's instrument of judgment against Solomon, because Solomon had begun worshiping the gods of his foreign wives. In verses 37 to 39, the prophet spoke these words from God to Jeroboam. He said, "I will take you, and you shall reign over whatever you desire, and you shall be king over Israel. Then it will be that if you listen to all that I command you, and walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight by observing my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build you an enduring house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you. Thus I will afflict the descendants of David for this, but not always." Now Jeroboam was given an incredible opportunity by God. He was being placed over 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was being offered the honor of ruling a great nation and the blessing of having an enduring house just like David's, built for him by God. The Messiah would still come from the lineage of David, of course, because this was the promise God had made to David. But Jeroboam would become a great king over a great nation if he would only obey God's commands. It is at this point that Jeroboam took the bad step that would forever mark him as an evil king. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through 33, the scripture tells us that Jeroboam initiated idolatry in Israel by erecting golden calves in Dan and in Bethel. He appointed priests from tribes other than Levi, and he established feast days of his own devising to correspond with those in Judah. He did this because he feared the people would return to Rehoboam's rule in the south if they were allowed to worship in Jerusalem. The result of Jeroboam's step was that Israel began down the path of idolatry and completely forsook God. In the succession of kings that followed him, great wickedness was a common attribute, And the scriptures often speak of these kings following in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Israel went so far astray from God as a result of Jeroboam's initial step away from him that they were carried away into captivity by the Assyrians about 200 years after Jeroboam ascended to the throne. The 10 tribes were never restored from their exile and for all intents and purposes ceased to exist. All of this because of a single step in the wrong direction taken by Jeroboam the son of Nebat. The second man who took a wrong step is also one whose life and legacy would have been entirely different had he gone the other way. His name is Judas, and he was one of the 12 men whom Jesus called to be apostles. In each of the synoptic gospels, the names of the 12 are listed, and in each case, Judas is the last one named. Judas, like all the others among the 12, was just an ordinary man called to an extraordinary mission. These were the men to whom the Lord would give the keys to the kingdom of heaven. These were the men who would proclaim the gospel to the remotest part of the earth. These are the men whose names were to be remembered for all time. What an incredible opportunity for each one of them. Judas followed the Lord faithfully for nearly 3 years. But near the end of this period, he took a step that led him to be remembered with scorn. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 16, the scripture says, "Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?' And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. From then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus." Now, by this single step, Judas went from being the Lord's disciple to being his enemy. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 through 50, Judas led the crowd to the garden where Jesus was praying, and there he betrayed the Lord with a kiss. Judas had become the worst kind of enemy. He became a traitor. The Lord was taken into custody, tried by the Jews, by Herod, and by Pilate, and then he was crucified. Even though Jesus' death on the cross was foreordained by the Father, Jesus said, "Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Matthew chapter 26 and verse 24. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 through 5, the scripture tells us that Judas felt remorse for what he had done. He returned the betrayal money to the chief priests and elders, and then went out and hanged himself. His bad step led him to betray the Son of God, and then to seal his eternal destiny by taking his own life. As long as the earth continues, Judas will be remembered with disdain for what he did, all the result of a single bad step. Now let's turn our attention to two men who took a good step. The first of these is a man called Saul of Tarsus. We meet him in Acts chapter 7 and verse 58 when a mob of Jews stoned Stephen to death. While they were killing Stephen, Saul held their robes. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 tells us that he was in hearty agreement with their action. Then in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, Luke tells us that Saul began ravaging the church. Saul of Tarsus was an enemy of the church and his chief persecutor in the earliest days of its existence. The record of Acts chapter 9 tells us that Saul even went so far as to request authority from the high priest so he could hunt down Christians as far away as Damascus. Saul was on the way to becoming a superstar among his fellow Jews, but something happened while he was on the way to Damascus that gave him an opportunity to go in the opposite direction. In Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 9, Luke tells us that the Lord appeared to Saul in a bright light as he traveled to Damascus. The light itself and the Lord speaking to Saul did not alter his life's course. The step that would do this was yet to be taken. After 3 days, a preacher named Ananias came to Saul, restored his sight to him, and then told him what he must do. Years later, as the Apostle Paul, he repeated what Ananias had told him on that occasion. It is recorded for us in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Ananias said, "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins." The good step that Saul of Tarsus took was to obey the gospel and to accept the Lord's commission to be the apostle to the Gentiles. What a difference this step made, not only in Saul's life, but also in the life of the church. For the rest of his life, Paul traveled all over the Mediterranean, preaching the gospel, establishing churches, and writing letters to individual Christians and to congregations of God's people. Over half of the New Testament consists of letters that Paul wrote, and these letters continue to influence and guide God's people still today. Paul the Apostle is a hero of the faith, and we are greatly in his debt, all because of a single step in obeying the command to get up and be baptized and wash away his sins. The final man who we'll consider today, whose life was turned on only a step, is Peter. Peter was one of the 12 chosen by the Lord to be his apostles. In every list, his name appears first, and he was one of three among the 12 who were the very closest to Jesus. Peter was the chief spokesman on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, and he was the first to convert Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. Some consider Peter to have been the supreme leader of the apostles, and although this is not true, he was very important in the early church. Now, how he came to be such goes back to the occasion of one of the Lord's most notable miracles. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33, the record tells of when the Lord came walking on the waters of the Sea of Galilee as the 12 were struggling to sail to the other side. It was during the fourth watch of the night, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., when Jesus approached the boat in which the 12 were sailing. When the disciples saw Jesus, they were afraid, thinking that he was a ghost. The Lord told them not to be afraid and identified himself to them. Peter spoke up in verse 28 and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." In response, the Lord said, "Come." Now Peter had to make a decision. Would he stay in the boat, or would he take the step over the side to walk to the Lord? In verse 29, we see that Peter indeed got out of the boat and he walked toward the Lord on the water. He took the step, and he did something no human had ever done before. He did something he would never have believed possible. When we consider this particular incident, I believe Peter's life was changed by this single step. You see, Peter, whose name was Simon, and Peter was the nickname Jesus gave to him. Peter is the name that means rock or stone as a small pebble. But indeed, when Peter took that step over the side of the boat and walked on the water, he indeed became the rock that Jesus would depend upon to build his church. He became the man the Lord could use to do great things because he took a single step of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus called on the people to enter the small gate that opens the narrow way that leads to life. He warned them not to enter the wide gate that leads to the broad way that leads to then destruction. The way that each of us will go and the destination at which we will arrive begins with only a step. A step through the small gate by obedience to the gospel begins our journey to heaven. Only a step separates us from this destination. On the other hand, only a step separates us from eternal destruction or condemnation. Only a step can determine your eternal destiny. The question then is, what step will you take? Which direction will you go? Which step will you take to begin your journey, either to eternal life or to eternal condemnation? Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.